Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This doesn't light your fireman. The pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart. Focus and finish.
Round right, box two, run on set. Ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
I got a little something for you.
America, are you serious? It is showtime, baby. Here we go. Red Jam's fun.
Good evening, folks. We are live from the Hive here at Edcal Tulsa Majestic Yellow Jacket Stadium, also known as the Black Hole. Joining me tonight is the host for the most, Perry Ellis, and of course I'll be your co-host, Nick the Dream Sanchez. Looks like you fans are in for a treat, being at the fact that this is the first district game for both teams. This should be an exciting matchup between Westlake East Wildcats and your mighty Edcal Tulsa Yellow Jackets. So tell me, give me your intakes, your suggestions, your thoughts. And
I'll tell you, this is going to be one heck of a game tonight. Both teams have quite a number of fans. Looking over to the east side, it's probably about 70% capacity, and probably about 70% capacity over here on the home side. And it's gonna be a hard-nosed football. I'm giving the Jackets to win by 7.
All right, the captains for Edcal Tulsa was Roger Garcia, Brandon Reyna, Xavier Perez, and Alex Garcia.
And of course, the toss has already been conducted, and the Wildcats did win the toss, but elected to receive the ball in the second half. So it looks like the Yellow Jackets will be on offense to start off tonight's ball game. And for those of you that are just joining us, quite an array of media. Unfortunately, one of the first times in 7 years, they're not here to see the Yellow Jackets. They're here to see the Wildcats, who are coming into tonight's ball game 3-0. Of course, the Jackets coming into tonight's ball game with a 1-2 record. But in any case, we have 102.5 La Ley, 101.5, as well as Action 4.
Action 4 News.
Yeah, so definitely if you're in the Valley, you may want to tune in to Channel 4 News for highlights after tonight's game.
And here come your Yellow Jackets.
A lot of energy from both sides here as both teams take the field. And the Yellow Jackets corral themselves at the 50-yard line right at the midfield. And a lot of excitement from both the fans and the players.
So what do you think they're saying in there, in the huddle?
They're saying, let's kick some patootie.
Some Wildcats.
Well, one of the keys, in my opinion, is obviously going to be the defensive line for the Yellow Jackets. You know, there was an article that came out not too long ago about the West Coast Wildcat offensive line, and they're just a potent force. A couple state champions in powerlifting on that particular offensive line. I know Kat Salazar. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I've seen him since his freshman year. Grow up, and he's one of those linemen for Westlake East that is a threat. So that's going to be the key, whether the Jacket defensive line can handle. What do you think is going to be the biggest thing for the Jackets, either offensively or defensively?
I think offensively they need to come out strong. I think Aaron Lopez should come out, you know, step it up, be a leader, and take control of this offense.
Now, the biggest thing for those of you that are joining us, I don't know if you heard Mr. Layton, number 32 is in appearance and actually back deep will receive the Wildcat kickoff. Number 32, Roger Garcia. For those of you that were unaware, Roger was injured during the Harlingen High game, so he has been out for nearly 3 weeks. The game against Harlingen, which he missed pretty much the second half. The game against Port Isabel, and then, of course, the bye week. So this is his debut from that injury that he experienced.
The Jackets back to receive.
I think a lot of excitement. I mean, I, if, I, if, I, I'm hearing a lot of words in the sense that I think there's a lot of anticipation for tonight's ball game, especially from the from both sides of the fans, in the sense that you know, just to bring that comment, what you said earlier when we were talking before the game, you want to mention that or that yeah, they better win type of comment? And, you know, engaging in a conversation here, I think that's what both fans feel right now. Both fans, you know, for the Wildcats, the Jackets feel that they better win.
Well, and, they're both in the run for the 32-4A district title, so.
Well, you know what? At this point, I don't think there isn't a team that's in the run for the 32-4A district title. Roma's playing tough football. They're 3-0. La Jolla Juarez, they're 2-1. Mission High is pretty good. Mission Veterans, Mercedes, and of course the two teams that we're seeing tonight.
Kick is up.
It's a short one taken by one of the men, number 70.
Number 70?
That'd be Joseph Lopez.
Okay, well, number 70, Joseph Lopez, sporting a lineman number. I thought it was a tight end.
Dude, there's some injury on the O-line, so they have to move him to guard.
Okay, well, he fields the ball, probably about a 25-30 yard kick in the air. He fields it, not much of a return, maybe about a 1 or 2 yard return, but the Jackets will start first and 10 at about the 23-24 yard line.
Lopez, the quarterback, hand off to Ryan Castillo.
Tough yards there by Ryan. I think he's got a first down.
First down. Wow, it's an 11 yard gain.
And Jackets opting to come with come into tonight's ballgame with that traditional tight formation known as the A set. A lot of teams, though, do refer to it as the nasty set.
The nasty.
But basically, it's a wing set. But Jackets, of course, you know, and Coach Elise looking to stick to their basic offense, and it proved to be pretty successful in that play.
See if they can pull off another run.
Toss to the left. Roger again. And a couple yards on the play. Had a twins to one side and tossed it. You know, I think Solis was watching Westlake East on that particular play, in the sense that that's traditionally what Westlake East likes to do. And we'll see them when they go offensively. What they do is they overload one side. And we had two receivers to that side as well as the tight end. And they just pretty much pitched it to that left side, in the sense that you want to try to outnumber the players and have that advantage. Pretty much same formation. This time tight ends to the right. And it's a handoff up the middle. Another maybe about 3 yards.
3 yards. Looks like they're trying to run up the gut.
Indeed they are. And it'll bring up a third and about four. Both carries good for about 3 yards. But in order to be successful in that type of offense, you need 3.5 yards. Because 3 plus 3 is 9. Or 3 plus 3 plus 3 is 9.
Yeah. And you get the first down this play.
Needing 4 yards here. It's a toss to Roger. He's going to be knocked out of bounds short.
Should be close.
Well, not given the spot from the sideline judge, he's going to be short about maybe half a yard. And with the ball spotted about the 46-yard line, Solis is not going to risk anything. He's going to send his punting unit out there. And I really think that the Jackets needed an opening touchdown just to set the tempo for tonight's ballgame. Instead, they'll be punting with 10 minutes and 41 seconds remaining in the first quarter.
You got Alfonso Salinas to receive the punt for the Westlake East Wildcats.
And once again, Palomares with his traditional style of faking the punt.
Fumble.
And that was one of those things where it looks like the ball bounced off of an Ed Calchelsa's helmet, a player's helmet, hit the defender, hit the return man, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But Westlake's good presence of mind to quickly jump on the ball before an Ed Couch player could, and they retain possession of the ball. So the Wildcat and their massive offensive line, I can feel the rumbling here all the way up in the stands as the Hogs, as these linemen are traditionally called, take the field for Wesco East. And a even set with a strength to the right. Handoff up the middle. He's got some space. Maybe about 7 yards there.
About 7 yards on the play.
Line of scrimmage was, wow, those numbers are pretty faded, huh? Looks like the 24-yard line. So the ball moved up to the 32-yard line. So close to about a 7-yard pickup. Maybe 8. It'll bring up a 2nd and 2. And pretty much the same play. Another huge hole there. Going. And wow, he gets tripped up there. If he don't get tripped up, he might be off to the races for a touchdown. And so far, with two offensive plays, the Wildcats have just managed to open up those holes and are seeing a lot of daylight. I mean, I think if the defense does not, you know, step up in their game, I think we're going to see a long touchdown run within the next couple plays.
Yeah, defense needs to step it up a little bit.
Ball exactly at midfield, and we're going to have a penalty here. Oh, no, he got back in time, maybe. There's another handoff, this time to number 13.
But
correction.
Yards in the play.
That was 13, yeah.
Number 13. Bobby Gonzalez on the run.
Picks up about 3 or 4 yards, and just to compare the offenses right now, I know it's just one series, and you really can't make too many comparisons, but definitely the Wildcat offense right here is proving to be the better offense, as they're moving this ball relatively easy, picking up, you know, positive yards in every play. And here's that strong formation, similar to what Ed Couch did earlier, with twins to the right, and there's the toss to the right.
Overload.
And he's got nothing.
You got nothing on play.
Looks like the defense was prepared for that play, as officially will be about a 1 yard gain. It'll bring up a 3rd and 5.
He was met there by Brandon Martinez, one of the corners for Cachosa.
And this is probably going to be one of the many critical third down plays for the Yellow Jackets, as they find themselves here with an opportunity to stifle this this Wildcat drive that for the most part has seemed unstoppable.
It's there in trips formation.
Trips, and it's going to be a pass. And that's a relative surprise there. Wesco East has not passed the ball much, but you know, coming into this ball game, that's a great strategy in the sense that they have, that's something the Jackets weren't quite expecting, and they complete that pass for the first down. Not exactly sure how many yards, but definitely over 10 yards on that reception, and it'll bring up a 1st and 10 at about the 33-yard line. Forgot to paint the numbers, I guess, because they're faded pretty bad. Paint the numbers on the field. Trips to the right this time.
And he goes nowhere. Met up by a swarm of bees.
And it looks like number 51, Luis Escobedo, there on the tackle. And Addison Einhorn, forgot to mention, was not playing for the Wildcats last week in their massive offensive production against the Brownsville Lopez Lobos the week before. And he's the star running back for them. Did not play due to an injury, but appears that he is back and got stuffed on that play. As we have a 2nd and 9, officially a 1 yard gain, but the Wildcats feel like they're going to need to talk it over. Timeout, Wesco East.
So we're going to take a quick pause for the cause. You are listening to Ed Cal Jussel Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Ed Cal Jussel Sports Radio. Brought to you by CV the Hispanic Titanic, alongside with the host, with the most, Perry Ellis, bringing you games live from the high.
Bueno, bueno, esta próxima pregunta es para Carolina. Carolina, si a las 5:30 de la mañana tomas el bus a 60 millas de la escuela y el bus viaja un promedio de 30 millas por hora, ¿cómo vas a llegar a tu cita prenatal y también llegar a tiempo a tu primera clase?
Algunos estudiantes están afrontando más que solo sus deberes. Por eso es que más de 30% no se están graduando. Pero tú puedes darles el apoyo que necesitan para sobreponerse. Visitando boostup.org. Un mensaje del U.S. Army y el Ad Council.
And we are back. Second down for second and 9 for Westlake East.
They're going to drive the ball right up the middle. And he's immediately met at the line of scrimmage.
He is met by Ray Reyes. No gain on the play.
And for the first time in this drive, Westlake East with not only a third down, but a third and long, third and about nine. And if the last third down was not a passing down, I think this might be. But you know what, given the way they ran the ball a couple plays ago, I wouldn't be surprised if they run it here on third and nine.
They come out
it's traditionally a passing down. And indeed, they're going to drop back to pass. Unleashes it.
Incomplete pass.
And that's one of those instances where the ball was in the hands of the intended receiver, and they could have easily and should have had a first down, but instead, they drop it.
It was intended for number 15 as well, Alfonso Salinas. It was defended there by number 10 of the Edcatch of Yellow Jackets, Joshua Ruiz. Fourth down for the Westlake East Wildcats.
And this is quite a surprise given the way they marched that the ball, those first two, three plays. Westlake East will punt, and punting for Westlake's number 62, Kat Salazar, and he boots that ball. It hits about the 2 or 3 yard line, but it just had so much roll that it rolls out of the back of the end zone. So the Yellow Jackets will start.
Offense start at the 20 yard line.
Yes, sir.
See if Aaron Lopez can get him in the end zone. It is 6:15 to go one in the first quarter. Jackets under the second drive. Looks like a bad snap.
Well, not a good way to start here on their second possession of the ball game. Do want to remind you that there is 6 minutes and 5 seconds here remaining in the first quarter. Both teams have stalled in their drives after maybe driving the ball 20, 30 yards. Unable to continue the drive, and we have Ed Cachoso on their second possession. I'm waiting for Solis to unleash the the guns here. We haven't seen a pass yet from and there it is. There's the pass.
The pass.
Oh man, I spoke too soon. It was just one of those things where quarterback Aaron Lopez really took a turn. It was a waggle pass, which means it's a bootleg. He rolls out to in that case it was to the left, but when he turned, because he's a right-hander and he's rolling to his left, he overcompensated, I guess, and he just lost his footing. So it's a big loss, close to about 7 or 8 yards. It'll bring up a third and close to about 20. And so far not looking good. I think back in their tie formation, are probably going to run the ball here.
Yeah, Jackets really need to get the first down.
It's a tackle trap, and not very much there. Maybe about 2 or 3 yards. And the punting unit will enter the field again for the Yellow Jackets. And looking back, just simple mistakes, and you know, you want to call them mistakes, call them unfortunate things, but a fumbled snap on first down. A slip as you're setting up to pass on second down. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no way that you're gonna put together a scoring drive on situations like that.
Okay.
Well, the ball gets off safely. It's a nice punt.
And makes rolls. A nice roll. It's a very good punt by Danny Palomares.
That's going to be about a 50-yard punt with about 15 yards on the roll, 10 or 15 yards on the roll.
10 or 15 yards, yeah.
So that punt takes the Jackets out of the deep territory. The ball was originally around the 20-yard line. So with a 50-yard punt, the ball is now spotted around the 31-yard line of the Wildcats. And here they come with their second attempt. And I mean, you just can't, you know, you can't help but look at that offensive line as they come out. They look like a
huge.
They look like a like cattle being released. You know, like the running of the bulls in Spain,
yeah.
Man. I mean, that's what those guys look like.
Pretty big guys.
There's a handoff. A lot of arm tackles there. Unable to bring down. Unable to bring down Bobby Gonzalez, number 13 for the Wildcats. And you know, you're just not gonna bring down the Western Grace Wildcats with arm tackles. Gonna have to put a helmet on some legs there for the Jacket defense to bring down that speedy backfield of the Wildcats. And we have an official's timeout. 3 minutes and 25 seconds. Into the first quarter, or remaining in the first quarter. And let's see what the ref here indicates. Maybe a sideline warning. Appears to be conferring with Coach Solis and defensive coordinator Joe Garcia. And they keep pointing over there to the... to the south side of the field. I'm not sure exactly what the situation is. With the exception of the Action 4 news van and the helmet cameras of the both teams, I really don't see what the ref is pointing at as they continue to conference. Well, the refs are now heading over to the Westco East side. And, well, you know what, let's take a quick pause for the cause as
you are listening to Ed Cauchosa Sports Radio.
EEJackets.com, your number one sports authority for everything. Ed Cauchosa.
Crash. Ouch. You. Windshield. Face. Pain. Me. Terrified. Down. Slow. Maniac. Any of these words can be rearranged and combined in your own special way to use when you're in a car and your friend is driving recklessly. Because it doesn't matter what you say, just say something. Brought to you by the Ad Council and SpeakUpOrElse.com.
We are back here live at Yellow Jacket Stadium for this we found out what the problem is, but just to finish what I was saying, we are here live at Yellow Jacket Stadium for this district matchup between the Ed Cauchosa Yellow Jackets and the Westco East Wildcats. Well, it appears that we have found out what the problem was on the field.
It was one of the south side 25 second clock wasn't working. So they will be taking time on the field.
And Wildcats will start first and 10. And wait, why is the ball at the 40? Oh, they got... Okay, sorry. I forgot about the first play. So it's a second and one as it's a dive. And it appears that they got about maybe 5 yards on the play. Definitely good enough for the first down.
And that was number 22, Brian Guzman, for the Westco East Wildcats.
And Guzman, of course... son of Rene Guzman, I believe is his name, one of the varsity assistant coaches for the Wildcats. Of course, Rene Guzman does have his roots here at Ed Cauchosa, former graduate, now coaching for the Wildcats. First and 10, ball at about the 45-yard line. And it's another handoff.
Met by a swarm of Yellow Jackets.
You know, what I'm starting to notice is the Wildcats are having more success running to the right side of the line. I'm not sure whether, it may be that big old number 62, Cat Salazar, is on the right side of the line, or it just may be that the left side of the defensive line is a little bit more vulnerable to their attack. But that particular play was to the left side of the offensive line, and it just went for maybe half a yard gain, it'll bring up a second and nine. It's an overload. Did you see that?
The action.
That receiver wide open deep. Wow. Look at that receiver open over there. They're going to be kicking themselves in the butt there. They had a receiver open about 40
safety.
Yards downfield.
Yeah. Safety Jesse Alomo just bit for the flats, I guess.
Well, even if he wouldn't have bit, the corner bit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the coverage was. I think it was a cover three. Did you see the coverage?
It was cover three.
So that corner should have... I think the corner is the one that messed up. He's the one that bit on that waggle or that that flare. It was, what do you call it? A flare, right? Running back flare. Yeah, in any case, it was a short completion. Maybe about 3 yards. It'll bring up a third and about six. Another pass, and there's that short bubble again.
Oh, he is sacked. He fumbled.
A hard hit put on number eight, quarterback for the Wildcats. And that jars the ball loose. Not sure who it was. But he's going to be feeling that one for quite a while. Unfortunately, the ball fizzled out of the hands of one of the Yellow Jacket defenders. And a Wildcat able to jump on the ball. But regardless, on the third down,
it was a big loss.
Well, the third down will now result in a fourth down, and the Wildcats will be punting.
Roger the Dodger and DJ Valpando back to receive the punt.
So this game so far, a 0-0 to game, ball game. As that ball's going to be short, they're not going to have a chance to return it. Officially, it will be about a 35-yard punt. Well, unofficially, I should say.
Unofficially. They're going to start at the 22.
Well, so far we've been seeing that the Yellow Jackets have a far superior punter than the Wildcats.
Well, he has a different style of kicking than Danny Palomares for the Edcat Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things is he just always seems like he's going to fake punt it.
Yeah.
He has that soccer style lead.
Soccer style.
But you know what he's doing is he's stalling so that the cover team can get down and cover the ball. It's a great tactic. Going to pass, and it's Salomo on the bubble to Roger. No correction.
Xavier Pettis.
Picks up about what, five yards?
5 yards.
And that's that. I agree with that 100%. I think that's what you need to do with your young quarterback. Of course, Aaron Lopez, a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to get him out there passing, 10, 15, 20 yards deep, that requires a lot more time, a lot more effort, a lot more reading from your quarterback, and I think the young quarterback does just not have the skills yet to do that. But instead, you have him throw the short passes, gain his confidence, then you can work to those passes later in the game.
Well, it looks like the first quarter has ended. Your score, Yellow Jackets 0, and of course, the West Coast 0.
All right. Well, I'm going to update my Twitter account, so I'll leave it here to Nick to give you guys the 411 for the next minute or so.
Like they're spotting the ball for the next. Jackets come out with the A set. Here comes the Jackets. Quarterback back to pass. And it was almost intercepted by number five, Rolly Adonis.
And that's exactly what I was talking about. That was a deep pass, almost 20 yards down the field, right? Or what am I looking at? Was that right?
Yes, it was a 15-yard.
Was the ball intercepted or no?
No, it wasn't intercepted.
Oh, okay. I heard the announcer say, intercepted. I was like, what?
It was incomplete.
But it appears that it was a deep pass down the sideline, and I think that we need to stick to the shorter passes early on and get Lopez some confidence.
That would have been a nice game, though.
Instead, it brings up a third and five here. And it's going to be a handoff to Roger. He has no room to run. He's going to be stuffed for a big loss.
He was met there by number 42, Steven Estevanes. Brings up a fourth down for the Yellow Jackets. Looks like they're going to get ready to punt.
And we'll get to see Palomares in action yet again. What did Layton say?
I wasn't sure.
Well, whatever he said, apparently that the West Louise fans were not happy about it as they erupted in boos. As Palomares is going to boom that one deep. I got that as at about a 74, 73-yard punt. That ball was originally spotted around the 25-yard line of the Yellow Jackets. Now it is at the 4-yard line of the Wildcats. So once again, Palomares, the lone star for the Jackets tonight. And, of course, Salazar, the lone star for the Wildcats tonight so far. The punters, that is.
Looks like Coach Solis is giving the offensive talk on the sideline.
And with good reason, you know, the defense for the Jackets has managed to contain this offensive force by the Wildcats. But, you know, it's one of those things where you can only control and contain them so much. I mean, it's only a matter of time before the Wildcats break one. Okay, and if the Jackets don't put any points on the offense, offensive board, it's going to be a long game here.
After number 20.
Brandon Reyna scraping off the side. The outside linebacker position to make the tackle. Number 44, Brandon Reyna for
the workhorse defensively for La Magina. A 2-yard gain.
10 minutes and 40 seconds remaining here in the second quarter, and I don't know about you, but I feel real antsy right now. I feel like I want to put on a helmet and some pads and get down there myself and just turn this game around for the Yellow Jackets. And I'm pretty sure there's about a couple thousand fans that feel the same way here on the home side. Ball at about the 6-yard line, second and maybe 8. This is going to hand the ball off again. He's going to have a little seam there, and I think he's got the first down. And that's the beauty of this Wesico East offense is that they don't need huge holes. I mean, even from the best defenses like, you know, in the district like Edcal Chelsea's, you know, they managed to make that little seam, that little hole. And these backs who are averaging probably about 140 pounds, about 5'8", are small enough to just creep through that hole and make something out of what would normally be nothing out of a bigger back.
That's a big O-line.
And this time, the initial contact of defender for the Jackets unable to hold on as the Wildcat defender runs for extra yards. And picks up close to about 7. You know, if he makes the tackle at the initial contact, it's probably a gain of 3. But credit to the Wildcat running backs for just pumping their legs, and breaking away. And once again, it was another arm tackle that is not going to slow down these running backs. Another dive, this time off the left side of the line. I think Coach Cuellar for the Wildcats has caught on that they're having more success to the left as 3 out of the last 4 plays have been off the left side of the line. And indeed, they got the necessary 3-4 yards needed for the first down. First and 10, ball spot now at the 25-yard line. And remember, this drive started at the 4. So they've already managed to move the ball over 20 yards.
And after number 13.
And right into Brandon Reyna there. As I'm not sure if you noticed what the line's doing. The center and the guard are double teaming the tackle in an attempt to try to move him out of the way, and then they're leaving the linebacker unblocked, which is, in that particular case, was Brandon Reyna. And what they're hoping to do is, you know, by making that seam, making that hole, giving, you know, they hope to put enough room so that the running back can make his move and fake out our linebackers.
Some linebackers.
And hasn't been successful yet, but...
Fumble.
Wow, what a play. You want to describe that? I'm still in shock.
Yeah, well, it looked like the running back was... going to break it out for a good gain. But as Jesse Alomo, number 12, was tackling him, he kind of stripped the ball away from him. And, Yellow Jacket recovered the ball.
He was going to score. He had already... Alomo placed the free safety. He was pretty much already past him, but Alomo made a great effort to strip that ball. And then he recovers the fumble himself. And this is a huge turnover for the Yellow Jackets. And both crowds now into the ball game there as the change in possession has gotten the Yellow Jackets, Yellow Jacket fans on their feet, and of course the West Squeeze fans are quite jittery themselves as you take a peek over to the visiting side. I mean, that's about 90% capacity. I mean, that center reserve section is jam-packed, sold out. I don't see an empty seat. So a lot of fans on hand tonight for both sides, as this is proving to be the game that I certainly expected, this tough grudge match.
Option.
And Jackets are just having no success running the ball. Any success they had earlier in the first quarter has faltered, as now the loss of about three is going to bring up a second and 13. Correction, a third, right? Yeah, third and 13. And I think this is an obvious passing down for the Yellow Jackets. And it's going to test the arm of quarterback Aaron Lopez as he needs to complete something here. And indeed, it is a pass. It's going to roll to his left. He's got time. And that was not a smart pass by Lopez. He throws it. There was like four receivers around him. Four defenders around the intended receiver.
All I saw was white jerseys.
I didn't even see. Yeah, he was covered up. The ball was deflected and almost intercepted. And it was at the point where the deflection literally could have fallen into four different guys' hands. But instead, it falls safely incomplete, and it'll bring up a fourth down. So I believe for the fourth time tonight,
Balamadas back to punt.
The punter is out for the Jackets.
He's been having a good night.
And that is the first time where his technique has... That's the first time tonight that Balamadas... first time all season where his controversial style... Well, that's not really controversial, but his unique style has come back to bite him. Wildcats put the rush there, and Balamadas likes to take his time really sidekick it, but instead had to kick it straight up, and it just was a horrible punt. I don't even think it went 5 yards.
Mm-mm.
So it looks like the Wildcats will get possession pretty much right in the area where the play where they fumbled it occurred. So they will take over 1st and 10 in their own territory at the 40-yard line.
The game still scoreless.
Yep, 7 minutes and 2 seconds remaining in the second quarter. It's going to be, the big question is, who's going to score first?
There's a flag on the play. It's the very first penalty of the game. Makes it be a false start by the West Coast Wildcats.
And that's a drive killer right there. As the Wildcats now face the 1st and 15. Do want to apologize if you were experiencing some technical difficulties here. Once again, this internet broadcast not exactly the most high-tech available out there. But that's partially because it is free, and this is what free gets you. First and 15 here. Toss to the right.
Number 13.
Has some room to run.
Bumble. Looks like the Yellow Jackets picked it up. But
there is a flag. Hold on. There's some dirty laundry. But you know what? It's in the area where it might be a holding.
Yeah.
Because there was no... It's not a face mask. Because the running back was not even in that area. But it was in the area where there was some linemen and some defensive ends. Or the defensive end and the linebacker, and it might be a holding. But let's see what they say. Yep, holding. So the ball is turned over yet again at the 40-yard line. So now the Jackets will pretty much pick up where they left off before they had to punt the ball, their 5-yard punt. And, you know, I was just complimenting Palomares on his punting ability. And then he throws a 5-yarder. Rodgers running
game.
Low. And, oof, a tackler for the Wildcats coming in a little late there and going at the legs of Roger. And you just hate to see things like that because, you know the injury he sustained earlier in the season. And you kind of cringe thinking, oh, man, that could you don't want that to happen again. But he gets up safely and trots back to the huddle. But having to readjust his helmet, I think his helmet fell off again.
Yeah, helmets.
I mean, that's one of those situations. And I people say, well, you know what? He's not wearing the helmet right. But it's those new Revolution helmets that just are, I think they're poorly designed. I wouldn't want to wear them. But Roger's going to be face mask. Come on, man. Give me a face mask. Wow. Wow, it looked close. Not sure if it was really a
face
mask. The
helmet kind of coming off, too. I don't know, but...
Now, Roger had a little bit of room there, but he did have to beat one guy, and that guy, he stiff-armed him, but in the process of stiff-arming, the guy held him and naturally brought him down for, what is that, maybe a no gain? Not really sure.
Yeah, I don't think he gained anything on that play.
But it will bring up a 3rd and 5.
Jackets bring it in tight for the A set.
Yep. What do you think? I think it's going to be a sweep to the outside. Nope, quick pass to tight end. Oh, man, he wasn't even ready.
Tight end wasn't looking.
He wasn't even ready. But you know what? It doesn't really matter because the ball was just so poorly thrown. That play didn't have a chance at all. And I'm pretty sure, as a reporter here in the booth said, go for it, coach. I'm pretty sure that's what a lot of fans are saying here as the ball is at the Yellow Jacket 35-yard line. I think it is deep enough to go for, but I guess coach would rather favor. I mean, I don't blame him because this offense for the Wildcats has shown signs of being great. So he'd rather try to pin him deep rather than take the chance of them getting good field position.
Oh, it looks like a clipping right there.
So maybe about a 12-yard return. As the ball's going to be punt, maybe about 30 yards or so, it will be returned. But like you said, there is a clipping penalty.
There's a clipping.
That's going to take them back. Ball is spot at about the 20-yard line right now. May take them back to about the 10. But let's see what the Zebras say. So far, this game has not been... I don't think it's been what either team has expected. In the sense that I think the Wildcats came in here thinking that they were just going to blow the Yellow Jackets away. And I don't think it's also been the game that the Yellow Jacket offense has anticipated.
Yeah.
Being that Roger is back, I have to wonder maybe if Roger's not at 100% or if this Wildcat defense is just that much improved. Because you know, I saw them against Brownsville Lopez, and the Wildcat defense gave up, I believe, 21 points. Maybe 28 points, I'm not too sure. But regardless, they gave up a lot of points against the Brownsville Lopez offense that wasn't that great either. But nonetheless, they'll start 1st and 10, ball at about the 7, and that play is whistled dead before it even got started.
I think it's a false start, I'm not sure.
Well, that's
yep.
an actual